I think that I'd like to just read a verse in Galatians 6 and verse 14 that will also help to just tie off what we've been saying. Because we are not out of this world, we are still in the world, but Christ is in us. And the cross and the circumcision without hands, buried with him in baptism, raised with him, it is connected to this verse in Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the key phrase here I want to emphasize, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. It is that we understand that the man who is exalted to the right hand of God, who we are complete in, who the circumcision without hands has been applied to my life, the flesh reckoned as dead, buried with him in the likeness of his death, now raised in the likeness of his resurrection. That work on the cross closes the door to the world, closes the door to the reasoning of man, closes the door to the aspirations of man. So I don't have the similar aspirations and goals as what is in this world. Yes, I have to work. I need to graduate from school. All of these things are fit in their own place. But the intellect, the reasoning, the thought process, I am done with it. And now this newness of life, this resurrection that I am in the likeness of Christ, it gives me a new perspective, a new mind, a new thinking. And as Brother Chuck then led us into verse 13, bringing in the Gentiles here, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, this is what God has done. He hath made alive. That's what that word quickening means. Together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. You see, most of us here are on the line of the Gentiles. We are outside of the blessing, the commonwealth of Israel. And the guilt of sin and the trespass of sin needed to be dealt with so that we could have the liberty, the freedom, the joy that is in the one who is the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily. The Jew then comes in verse 14, I believe, right? It takes us to the law, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Is Paul taking his place along with his brethren, which was contrary to us, and he took it away, took it out of the way by nailing it to his cross. So the beauty of the mystery that we talked about in the previous chapter that Paul was persecuted for was that he said that Jew and Gentile are one in Christ, one new man. They wanted to crucify him. He said, what are you talking about, Paul? He says, this is a work that God has done in Christ. So that whether Jew or Gentile, in this world now, Christ in us gives us the power and authority to live outside of the standards, of the teachings, the rudiments, and the traditions of this world. So whether Jew, if you're a Jew here today, all of the ordinances of the law that needed to be satisfied, that we couldn't, because the law just condemns. It says that he has taken it out of the way, and he has nailed it to his cross. The cross, really, beloved young people, you know, it's more than just simply how we view it. Well, my sins have been dealt with. The cross has dealt with everything that God required of man that we could not do as related to the law, as relates to God's standards. And it says that he has taken that, if you would, block out of the way, and he's nailed it to the cross, having dealt with it forever as far as God is concerned. And because he's done that, now we can be done with this world as well.
Are we done so far? Taking it in? It's a wonderful thing, because what you see here, thank God that he uses the Apostle Paul. So, I mean, to me, as I'm reading and hearing the brother, you see how things are just being unfolded. All of these greatness of Christ and the greatness of his work, we have heard how the cross, how wonderful the cross of the Lord Jesus, that which was a symbol of shame and just how wonderful is the cross of the Lord Jesus. Man has three dilemmas, as we have heard. The flesh was a dilemma. What are you going to do? Enmity to God, that's the mind of it. Lust after, the answer is the cross. In the cross of Christ, that flesh was dealt with once and for all. You have taken it when you believed. You said, I understand it. You went into the water of baptism and you said, I am identified with Christ. I am risen to go into the new life. That's one dilemma that mankind have. And that's why these philosophers were playing on the flesh. And he's saying, forget it. It's gone. It's out of the way. You are now a new person because you are in Christ. And as we have heard, I really appreciate what you said. I am. That's why I think. Because I am in Christ. Everything is adjusted in that way. The second dilemma that man has is the law. Given by God. Righteous, holy in everything. The problem is not the law. The problem is me. But what are you going to do? So he takes that law on the cross. But not only just the law. I have a signature, the handwriting. I have sign that I'm putting myself under that law. It's actually using an expression that used in the court. In the legal courts in Greece. When somebody had a law and you sign it. You put yourself under it. And in the cross, that was taken care of. And then the third point that the cross taking care of in verse 15, but I'm not going to speak about it, is the principalities and powers.
Emphasize again, because I know what happens often. We go home and we've really enjoyed Grove City, and we don't have perhaps some of us Christian fellowship, and we can fall back into our own habits and into the world that we know that we've been delivered from. Then the enemy attacks and he wants to say to you, well, you know, really, you don't belong to Christ at all. You're not his. If you were his, you wouldn't be doing these things. So I want to emphasize a little something here just before we leave verse 13. He has forgiven you how many? How many of our trespasses have been forgiven? Let's hear it. How many? All of them. We want to be able to see the old man that produced these trespasses or sins. Young people, you want to realize he's not been forgiven. He has been condemned at the cross. God is done with the old man. He has been condemned. He has been set aside. He will never produce anything for God. He had those sins, the fruit of the tree whose root was bad. What about those? Well, this is the beauty of the work of Christ. We have been forgiven. Forgiven from all trespasses. Now, what happens when I go home, or if that should happen to me? My relationship with Christ, a young lady and I talked about it last night. My granddaughter, Kristen, who is in this room, will always be my granddaughter. Nothing can change that. I'm part and you're part of the family of God. Nothing will change that. You will always be a child of God because Jesus keeps those who belong to him. But my relationship with him, as far as communion, can be interrupted. It's broken. Instead of occupying me as a believer with the beauties of Christ, he has to occupy me with my failure. I lose my joy. David said, Lord, restore unto me, not my salvation. Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. That's what we don't want to lose. We don't want to lose that joy that comes from walking with this one on a daily basis. So I just want to bring that. You are eternally secure if you belong to Jesus. I'll just say and start us into this next subject, what a victory the Lord Jesus has had. That's what these next verses are going to bring us out. Tony has reminded us of that which was against us. Paul, you'll go out of here, you'll go back to your community, You'll hear all kinds of demonstrations. You'll see the Ten Commandments on the courtyard. You'll see battles over them at school. You'll see all of these people that are talking about putting up these Ten Commandments that really were given to show man his need of Christ. They were not given. The law was not given to you and I as Gentiles. It is not that which we live by to produce fruit for Christ. The standard in your life and mine is Christ himself. Far higher than 10 commands that have been given. But as far as the law, he says, Paul says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, it was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, listen to this, he made a show of them openly. When Christ ascended on high, he led captivity captive. This is the same reference, the same thoughts here, that the Lord Jesus went back as a victor into glory. He led captivity captive, and as a risen Christ, this is coming from Ephesians 4, he gave gifts unto men. Here I see it. He made a public display showing the greatness of his victory. Look at that word, triumphing over them in it. So the Lord Jesus has won the day. Can we say it that way? He is the victor. We are on the side, young people, that has already won. We've read, what does the song say? We've read the last chapter of the book. We know what's going to happen.
So, the flesh has no power over me. The law has no power over me.
And principalities and powers have no power over me. This is the victory that he has won for you. That is as a result of the cross. Now it's up to you. You want to go back? Put yourself under them? And that's why he will go on and say, don't let any man judge you. But these three things, just remember, they have no power over you. He took care of that on the cross. Your flesh, the law and its authority, even your signature that you're putting yourself under it, he took care of everything legally before God. They have no power over you.